in a process of selecting additional elders. I know number 205. All five verses, please.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that
song Amazing Grace. And the theme, actually, of this song service today is going to be the idea of grace. And actually, it is a very amazing grace. The idea of grace, or the word grace, is really thrown around a lot in the religious world. The word grace is used in, I think, in very inappropriate ways. For example, there are those that have taught that grace is something that you can go live however you want. In other words, commit all the sins you want, and God's grace is going to cover that. We'll talk about that more at the end of our service today, but that's not biblical grace. There are those who think grace is something that God dispenses out to people when they do particular deeds. The sacramental service is that way, that if you do these certain steps, God's going to dispense grace to you. And again, I believe that's an erroneous idea of what God's grace is. Well, what is grace? Well, the word simply, according to Vines, is that which bestows or occasions pleasure, delight, or causes favorable regard. That is, grace is something that you are given that brings pleasure to you, that brings goodwill to you, that gives you a sense of favor in the eyes of the one who bestows that grace upon you. On the part of the bestower, the friendly disposition from which the kindly act proceeds, righteousness, loving kindness, goodwill generally. And the whole idea of grace, and we've talked about grace before in various studies, is that grace is actually the product of the one who bestows that grace. It is an illustration, or it is a demonstration of the bestower's character. So when we talk about grace, we're not talking about something that we possess, but it's something that God possesses because of his character And it's all initiated by his character and nothing on our part. That's why we often call it a free gift. Because it's not something that's owed to us, but God, out of the goodness of his character and the righteousness of his character, bestows this favor upon individuals. What I want to do for the next in our scripture reading and the next couple of songs is to focus upon God's character. And I would hope that as we're listening and we're singing these songs, we think about how that character then applies to the fact that grace is being extended to us. So if you will now, turn to Exodus chapter 34, and Joe will have a reading for us.
I'll be reading verses 6 and 7 out of chapter 34 of Exodus. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation. If you would now turn to Psalm 86. Bow down your ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cried to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life, and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant, and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me.
Song number one, if you would. Song number one. Number one. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
verses.
Lord God of all the earth, we praise thy holy name.
Thank you, Father, that you're the creator of all the universe. You're our creator, our Father. And you acknowledge us as your children. And for that, we're so humble and grateful. We're grateful for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you for the health that has provided us the opportunity to be here this afternoon and to worship you through these songs of praise and through the lesson that will be presented. We're so thankful for every blessing that you bestowed upon us in this life and through the hope of living eternally with you and having our sins washed away by that great sacrifice of Jesus. We're amazed at your love for each of us that caused this plan of salvation to be presented to us. We thank you, Father, for your word that guides us in our daily lives, that convicts us of our sins, and yet it teaches us all truth and the path of righteousness that we should follow to please you. Pray, Father, that you would help each of us to follow that path and to stay focused on that great prize of eternal life with you. Pray that you help us to always resist the evil one when he puts the temptations before us. We're so thankful, Father, for the church that meets here. We pray that we will continue to grow in our love to you and our love toward each other. Help us to present ourselves as the proper example before our fellow man. Help us to teach others your word that others can have the hope that we have. We pray, Father, for those who are not with us, those that are sick. We ask that you would comfort them, extend your healing hand, that they might again return to the assembly. Pray for our shut-ins. We're so thankful for little Ethan that was baptized this morning. Help each of us to guide him in the path that you would have him to go. We pray for our military at this time, for their families. Pray that the hostilities might soon be over and they can once again return home. We thank you always, Father, for our country and for the blessings that we have here. One of those blessings is freedom. And we thank you so much for that, especially the freedom that we have to assemble without fear as we're doing it this time. We pray that it might continue. We thank you so much for Jesus, Father, for his sacrifice. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
As we mentioned, one of the greatest aspects of the concept of grace is the fact that grace is truly a product of the one who bestows it, based upon his character of goodness and his desire to give to those who cannot achieve on their own. And that leads us then to the second part, or the second important aspect about grace, in that upon the one whom it is bestowed is one who is considered weaker, someone who is considered not able to achieve the things that the bestower is willing to give. That is, they cannot achieve it on their own. We often talk about unmerited favor. And that word unmerited simply means that it's not, again, something that we owe. It's not something that we achieved. But it's something that is truly just given to us. One writer in the Dictionary of New Testament Theology on the Hebrew word that is often translated grace in the Old Testament says, it denotes the stronger coming to the help of the weaker who stands in need of help by reason of his circumstances or natural weakness. He acts by a voluntary decision, though he is moved by the dependence or the request of the weaker party. A typical expression used to describe such an event from the standpoint of the weak is the formula to find favor in someone's eyes. And I think about Noah, for example, who found favor or grace in the eyes of God. It is to inquire to his favor, lacking benevolence and condescension and understanding. So it is then that when we talk about grace and we think about what is our part when it comes to the idea of grace, is that we are the recipient. Not again because of something that is owed to us, not as something that we deserve or something that we owe or that we earn on our own behalf, but because God in his loving favor bestowed it upon us. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there we have the account where Paul has a thorn in the flesh and he asks for that flesh, that thorn to be removed. And at the beginning of verse 7, Paul writes, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it should depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of God, or of Christ, may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in need, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I think Paul's making the point here that he understands that when he is the most vulnerable, is when God's grace is the most abundant. Now we're going to be looking at some scripture reading and looking at some songs that will deal with the fact that we as sinners are in great need, that without God's help, we would be lost forever. But it's because of that sin, because of that weakness that we have, that God extends His grace to us. Scott?
If you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy 1, I'll be reading verses 12 through 17, where we read about Christ's past charge to Paul. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love with our in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came unto the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Number 596. His grace reaches me. Also me. Deeper than the ocean.
7.
Just sang, it talks about the fact that God's love was such that He would send His Son to come down and to die for us. In fact, if there's any one greatest demonstration of the grace of God, it is the fact that He did send His Son to earth. One who was existing in heaven with all the glory that comes with deity was willing to give that up for a time that He might come down to this earth to live a life, a great life, really, in the sense that He taught others and He was kind to others and He taught others about love. But then He was rejected. And out of that rejection then was sent to a very cruel death. One in which there was not only the physical agony, but there was the mental and the emotional distress knowing that He was rejected by His people. And so, as we think again about the grace of God and the great love of God, and we think about our sin and how the fact that we could not get over that sin without help from God, that help was extended to us through His Son. So the next few verses that we're going to read and the songs that we're going to sing, I want us to focus on this idea that God's grace was such that He would send His Son. And Jesus, the grace of Jesus was that He was come to this earth willing to die that we might have a chance to live for all eternity. If you will now turn to the book of Titus, we'll have our next reading.
I'll be reading from Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Titus 3:3-7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, by the washing of our regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I'll be reading in Ephesians 2:4-9. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace we are ye saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Please turn to number 638. Number 638. Wonderful grace of Jesus, free.
Number 31. What a Savior. Number 31.
Once I was straying, since our battery, all the things in good I see. God sent from heaven, our Holy Savior, to save our poor lost soul like me. Oh, God, a Savior, hallelujah, his heart was broken on Calvary.
Number 166. Are there those here who would like to take of the Lord's Supper this afternoon? We'll sing this song for prayer on our church. Number 166, all three verses.
Why did my Savior come to earth?
He gave table is set for those that have not partaken of the supper this morning. If you would, please raise your hand after each prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we humbly come before you, thanking you for this opportunity that we can gather together and worship you. And we thank you for our freedom that we can come here together and worship you and to do your will. Lord, we thank you most of all for your Son and what he's done for us. And to spread the word and to give us his wisdom and his knowledge and to guide us. And we thank you for his sacrifice and what he's done for us and to lie his body on the cross for our sins. We know that we're not worthy of it, but we pray for your forgiveness. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do, and we pray that you'll, as we partake of this bread, that you'll keep those thoughts in the front of our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Is everyone else? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you again, thanking you for the great sacrifice that you've gave for us. We thank you for all that you've done, and we pray that we will always do your will and to spread your word. We know you're the one and true Lord. We pray that we'll always look to you for guidance and to do your will. Please forgive us when we fall short. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be turning in your songbooks to number 474. Number 474 will serve as a song of invitation. Mark will lead us in just a moment. Number 474. Some of the thoughts or points that I hope that we take away from our exercise today is the absolute majesty of God, His graciousness, His love, His mercy, all those things of His character that then allowed Him or led Him to extend grace to us, to those who could not on our own overcome sin that we were involved in. I would also hope to understand that God did it not because of who we are and what we are, but because of who He is and what He is, that we truly are undeserving. But God has great love for us. And then I also hope that we understand that the greatest demonstration of that love and that grace was Jesus Christ Himself, who came to this earth and lived so that we might have a chance to live throughout all eternity. Over in Romans chapter 3, as Paul discusses the fact in the first few chapters that both Jew and Gentile is guilty of sin, he makes this statement. He says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But he goes on to show that it's not a hopeless cause. We should just give up on that, because he says in the very next portion of that sentence, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." That even though we have sinned, even though that we have fallen short of the glory of God, God has a remedy. Through His grace, He has given us His Son. Some may misunderstand that with the idea that, well, great, then if God's grace is going to cover everything that I do, well, then I'll go ahead and continue to live as I've always lived. Paul addresses that in chapter 6. When he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" And the very fact that we have submitted to God, we have submitted to Christ, and followed after Christ, means that we leave sin behind. We're no longer going to live the way that we have been living. Some have said, well, grace is one of those things that once you receive it, that, you know, since it's a truly free gift, that we can do just whatever we want to do. Well, again, I find over in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, that was read just a moment ago, that there actually is some demands made by grace. Again, Paul writes, "For the grace of God that brought salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So that as we now have received God's grace, it calls upon us to show our appreciation, to show our love back to God by living the way God wants us to live. And to continue to do so, knowing that we can fall from grace. In fact, we find much of the world has rejected God's grace. But God wants us to be His children. He wants us to be with Him forever. And so that's why He extended that grace, so that we would have a chance then to leave the sorry state that we were in, become something better, something that He desires. And so this afternoon, the invitation for you is that, have you accepted God's grace? Do you understand that without God's grace, you are lost for all eternity? But because of His grace and the sending of His Son, doesn't have to be your fate or your destiny, that you can become an inhabitant in the heavens with God Himself. If you would like to become a child of God, if you're not one, or if you realize that maybe I'm not living the way that grace demands that I live, that I need to change, we want to help you in whatever way we can. Again, Mark's going to be leading us an invitation song, so would you come while we stand and sing?
Marvelous grace of our Lord, be more. Praise thy name, seeds our sin. Thank you.
time will be led in our closing prayer.
Let's pray. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're so thankful that once again we can come to this place and worship you in song and reading of the scriptures and singing praises to you, and also to come to you in the avenue of prayer. We're so thankful for the many things that you've bestowed upon us, for your grace and for the love that you've shown to us. We're so thankful for all the things you provide, both spiritual and temporal. And we pray that you will be with us as we depart from this place. Be with all of those who are serving in the military, and be with those who are sick and not able to attend. Pray for the young man that was baptized this morning, that he might grow and as time goes on, and that he'll look to you for his guidance, and be with us that we might be able to help him as time goes on. Pray that you'll forgive us of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen.